Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it sure is good to see you.
I got out of bed today, and I made it my way over to WPFG, man, and it was a thrill to walk in the door again today and knowing that I was going to get to talk to you.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you say that. Our listeners appreciate what you have to contribute week after week after week. You are our spark of inspiration. Let's see what we can get into today, David. We always like to have some powerful words for our listeners. Well, today we're going to start out by saying just about the opposite. Instead of talking about the power of words, I want to talk about the power of silence.
Hey, yes. When you're silent, yeah. You're not misquoted.
You're not making any mistakes, are you? Well, you see, words are not cheap. Wars begin because of words. Peace comes when great men get together and negotiate in dialogue. Words link people. Words are the bridge to your future. The Bible says that. Words created the world. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 3. Read all the way to 3 to 31 and see what created the world. It was words. Words created your world. Proverbs chapter 18 says that. Jesus says that your words reveal what kind of heart you possess. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh, Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, words can move mountains, in Mark chapter 11. You see, there is a time to talk, but there is also a time to listen. There is time for movement. There is time for staying still. When people were hungry for knowledge, Jesus spoke and taught for hours. But when he went to Pontius Pilate, where was the truth? The truth was totally ignored. So he was silent. Jesus became silent through all that effort. You see, your words matter. Conversations matter. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37 reads just that way. Be silent about injustice to you. Be silent in discussing the weakness of others. Be silent in advertising your own mistakes. There is no need to flaunt the shortcomings of yourself or other people. Don't do that. Be silent. Silence cannot be misquoted. Isn't that one of your favorite lines, David? Jesus knew when he talked. He knew when to talk. And Jesus knew when to listen. Are there any magical parameters you'd like to apply to that, Dave? How do you determine when's a good time to listen?
When you're around people who know more than you do. Boy, that's the time to listen. Get around some people that know what they're talking about. And you can learn something from them. That's the time to be silent and bring up your little conversation. Doesn't mean anything compared to what it could be if you'd have been quiet and that's received. Right. After you look back over the years, it would have been great had I had a notebook and pad for the people I talked to.
Yeah, I often thought that too.
Because sometimes I love to take a notebook and pad to church. Mm-hmm. You never know when there's going to come a moment when you could speak to that issue.
Yes.
And boy, 20 years later, if you have it on paper, you still got it.
Yes.
It's like the Bible. It's you have a Bible in your home, you got the information when you need to have it. And some people don't have a Bible. They don't believe them. They don't even want them around. They got so much dust on them, they can't find them. And they don't take a notebook or a pad to church. They would never think of putting something down that might change the way they live.
It's amazing, isn't it? I still do that. I can't tell you the last time I left a church service and I didn't write down something. And we have a blank space in our worship folder just to take notes for people like me. And if nothing else, I at least write down all the prayer requests that I heard throughout the course of the day, and I pray for those people. But I think we all should do that. Our listeners take notes. Many of them do. In fact, I used to encourage them to grab a pen and paper, because I'm going to give you some homework. And I still do that sometimes. But we have to know when to listen and when to record and when to speak. Jesus knew those answers. He knew there was a time for silence, and he knew there was a time to speak.
Have we gone through that information? Well, I don't think there's a lot of things you can say about silence. Either you could talk or you don't. So
yeah.
We might be today just breezing over something like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Move on to the next subject. People are yelling at us. Hey,
yeah, move on.
We know that. We don't talk anymore.
That used to be some of my complaints of listening to some of those individual development programs and motivational speakers. They would talk them subjects to death. I say, okay, you made your point. Let's go. Let's move on. So perhaps I should listen to my own advice. You know, Jesus knew when you wanted to do something, get something that you wanted, you had to do something different that you never did. So if you want something new, you have to do something new to get it. And I think that is something we should be able to address because it was done in the scriptures. Everything is difficult at first when you're doing something new. When you were beginning to crawl, it was very difficult. When you took your first step, you fell down. We all did. Thousands will fail in life because they are unwilling to make changes. They refuse to change jobs, change towns, change friendships. They want to just stay in their own comfort zone. Yet thousands of others move up the ladder, move up through the ranks in their job, through the ranks of happiness, all because they are willing to go through a little discomfort to experience a new level in life. Peter wanted to walk on water. Remember that story? Jesus saw his excitement. And then he gave a simple instruction to Peter to do something that he had never done before. He said, "Come." And when Peter was first come down out of the ship, he walked on water. Go to Jesus. Remember reading that story? Matthew chapter 14. Jesus always give people something to do. He'd give them all kinds of options and tell them to do something. And it was always something they had never done before. He knew that their obedience was the only proof of their faith in him. Listen to the instructions to the Israelites. March around the walls of Jericho 7 days in a row, and then 7 times on Sunday. Remember that story? Well, listen to the prophet's instructions to the lepers. Go deep in the Jordan 7 times, and you will be healed on the 7th time. Remember that? So Jesus is giving them instructions to do something new. Ruth left her home country in Moab to be with Naomi. She met Boaz, who changed her life forever. Elijah stretched the faith of the widow, who was down to her last meal, 2 pancakes before death. He motivated her to do something she had never done. Sow her seed in expectation of harvesting during famine. She saw the miracle come to pass. Jesus knew how to stretch people's faith. He motivated them. He helped them to do things they had never done before in order to create things that they never had before. Jesus did new things.
Let me put it in a new kind of a line. When you want something you have never had, you got to do something you've never done.
Good way to say it, Dave.
That's a pack full of things that make you think. And make you want to get up out of your chair and get started because you've learned another great secret. We're moving through this kind of material. I don't think this is material that needs a lot of.
Yes.
A lot of.
That's right. You hit the main points.
You say it, and if you're listening closely today, and you're saying, guys, okay, guys, I got that too. I got that too. I got that too. Yes.
How about living? We're talking about people living in the future and looking backward, and they want to correct their mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. We've all done that. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Remember that? God forgave him. Look at Samson. He fell into sexual temptations with Delilah. Yet he is the one of the champions of the faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive others. Everybody hurts somewhere. Their mistakes stay on their minds. Give them another chance. Mistakes are correctable. Jesus knew that. So forgive yourself and forgive others. Try to move forward and don't live in the past. And know the value of other people. Jesus knew his own worth. You too should know your own gift. Many people around you never really discover you, do they? It's not really important that they do. What really is important is that you discover yourself, your gifts, or your own talent. Catch this. Popularity is when other people like you. Happiness is when you like yourself. We alluded to that yesterday, David. Remember our conversations about happiness? Happiness, what makes a happy person, is when you like yourself. If you want to become a popular person, that's when other people like you. But you must first learn to be happy. There is an interesting scenario when Jesus visited the home of Lazarus and his two sisters. Remember that story of Mary and Martha? Martha was busy with housework, but she was agitated with Mary, who was simply sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word he said. And when she complained, Jesus replied, "Mary hath chosen that good part." That's Luke chapter 10. You read that little story. Jesus knew his personal worth. He knew that his own words were life. He was incredibly self-confident and expected to be treated well. He honored those who discerned his worth. Jesus even reacted favorably to a woman who washed his feet. Remember that scripture? "Seeing thou this woman, I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with hair of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased kissing my feet. My head with oil was not anointed, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." Luke chapter 7, find that little story. You see, happiness is something you find in yourself. Jesus knew his worth. I read a little story, Dave, not so long ago, in a little publication called The Fish Wrapper. I don't know if you've ever read that little publication or not. It comes out of Lancaster County by several different denomination of churches put together this little publication. Very inspiring. And they were talking about self-worth. And they're trying to tell people not to compare themselves. This is, does the sun and the moon ever try to compare to each other? Does the moon say, "Look how bright and brilliant you are, and I'm just merely a reflection"? Their point was, everyone has a self-worth. And you are a very valuable person. You have attributes that nobody else has exactly like you. You are a great person. And you have talents and skills that are second to none. You have to find out what that is. That's our biggest challenge in life. We all are the best at something. And we all have love in our hearts that require other people. Happiness is found in other people, not in dollars, not in your home, not in your automobile, not in your checkbook. Happiness is found in other people. Surround yourself with great people, and don't try to be something you're not. We are not the sun. We are not the moon. We are not a star. We are not the earth. We are a human being who happen to possess some very valuable skills that other people need. Very important. Jesus knew his worth. We should know our worth as well. David, do you have any pearls of wisdom to explain to people how valuable they are to this good old earth that we live in?
Everybody's valuable. No matter who you are or where you've been in life, you're still valuable. You may live alone, you may live by yourself, you may not have much of these world's goods, but there is valuable things that come into your life as well as others get their rewards. I think some of the biggest rewards in life are when you solve somebody else's problem.
That's right. That's right.
You have to be able to just reach out and say, hey, can sometimes you don't even have to say that. The Lord just brings that help to you.
That's right.
I have a train set in my basement that I built many years ago. I've forgotten it for about the last 3 or 4 years, and it kind of, you know, things fall apart when you don't. I even had them in glass rooms.
You still do, don't you?
Yes. And the other day, a guy came into my house and said, hey, I love trains, and I don't have one like you do, but what do you need here? I'll look at it for you. I'll oil it up, and I'll get it running right and clean your track a little bit. Man, I said, that's incredible. This guy came into my house, said to say hello, and wanting to fix my train? Yeah. That's precious.
That's wonderful.
I have an old car in the garage that doesn't run, hasn't started for over 20 years. Another guy came into my house the other day and looked at that car, and he said, man, I love old cars, and how come you haven't got this thing going? This is a beautiful car. You get it out and go with it. And I said, I can't get it started. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm coming over here, and I'm going to fix your car for free.
Oh, my.
Whatever it takes, I'm going to get that thing started. And when he walked away, I said, man.
Wow.
Almost two things in one day.
Yeah.
That I'd already given up. I'm too old to get started with all that stuff anyway. I can't even get in the car. Yeah. It's too small. But my grandsons are dying to get it.
Oh, yeah. They want to go for a ride anyway.
Yeah, they want to take it on a trip.
Isn't that amazing?
So,
see, the Lord put those people in your life.
It's amazing how you live.
Yes.
You can't succeed by yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus teaches us every day that we need people, that we need everything that we have came from God, and relationships is everything.
It's everything. I wish I would have known that at a young age. Why do we have to get into our senior years before we understand that the most valuable asset we possess is the love and affection of other people?
Sometimes when you're praying, you ask God to help you with things that you don't even think about anymore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, He brings people in your life, and I'm saying to myself, I asked the Lord to help me with things, but I didn't think about the car. I didn't think about the train.
Right.
Who cares about that stuff? But you know what? I got a new interest in both.
That's right.
Man, I was back out there sitting in the car seeing what I could think about. I was downstairs making the train try to go around the track. I said to myself, that turned me on.
That's right. And I bet you'll get into that little car one of these days, too.
Oh, that man.
Our listeners should know you're 6'5".
Listen, the car is so little that I can't get in it.
Yeah.
Without a lot of help.
Well,
to get out of it is even worse
yet.
But you have to.
Somebody gets it running, though.
Yeah. Hey. You know, it was more than just going and making a call.
Yeah.
We finally had to call Europe.
Wow.
And order a harness that they don't make anymore, but this man over there was willing to make one.
How about that?
So I'm getting a new harness for my car.
A harness?
A harness. Now I got to take out the old one and put the new one in.
Yeah.
You think that's an easy job?
No.
Put the wires down through the doors and the fenders and... Oh. And
be complicated.
God knows how.
Yeah.
To make you alive again.
And that friend probably...
He'll be a friend for life.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yep.
Well,
we all have those valuable assets, and that's sometimes what people sell themselves short. They don't understand their own value. We talked about money. You know, money can be almost anything. It can be your talents. It can be your time. It doesn't have to be something that folds up and goes into your wallet. Anything that you use to exchange and it can be money. And we all possess a million-dollar idea or have a valuable thought in our head. Whatever your talent might be, you're the best at something. You know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy, what was his name? Colonel Sanders, I believe, wasn't it? He had an idea that he wanted to make the world's best chicken. You know, something, he did it at an old age. I think he was 67 years old when he went into business for himself. Yeah.
Well,
happiness.
Happiness comes when somebody helps you.
That's right.
And it's we need problem solvers in our lives.
That's exactly right.
The people who are listening to us today, they can go out and look at the junk. We all have $17,000 worth of junk around our house. Pick up something that you haven't touched for 10 years and you put it over there and say, someday I'll take care of it. Maybe today is the day you take care of it.
Yes.
And God will help you with it.
Yeah.
These are problem solvers.
Yes, maybe we should start selling these things on eBay or Craigslist or something like that. Get rid of all the junk in our lives and we'll have all the $17,000 cash.
You know, that's right. We're getting ready to build a church.
Yeah.
We are needing so much money, we're wondering whether we could ever do
it. How are you ever going to get that much money?
How are we ever going to do it?
The Lord provides. So.
And people, that's how it came up. Because somebody said, well, we all have $17,000 worth of junk.
Yes.
Around our house, so get it out and sell it.
And then give it to the church. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you'd be the winner in the long run just to clean up your life. And I have to confess, we're all part of that. Well, that just goes to show how much we all need other people. God needs those people as well. You need God. God needs you. Everything you have comes from God. Success is not a collection of relationships alone. It doesn't come without clients. Your lawyer needs clients, and your doctor needs patients. Your composer needs someone to sing. We all need some kind of interaction with other people, no matter what your life might be. Your future is connected to people. So develop people skills. Jesus knew the importance of others. He constantly talked his upline, that's to his Heavenly Father. He talked to his downline, that's his disciples. He talked to everybody. At 12, he exchanged information with the scribes and priests in the temple. Remember that story? He talked to tax collectors, fishermen, doctors, lawyers. Jesus talked to everybody. He said, I can of myself do nothing, John chapter 5. You need problem solvers in your life. David just reflected that point a moment ago. You need a good banker. You need a good doctor. You need a good financial advisor. You need your family. You need a godly pastor. You need people in your life, people who care. Listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit today. Obey his instruction. That's what Jesus did. Jesus knew that no man is an island, and we needed each other in order to be successful, in order to survive in this good old world we live in. David, what are your thoughts about working with other people?
It's you have to work with other people. When I got my work cut out for me with a singing group, man, I had somebody around me that helped me through every situation. And if I'd have tried to be a soloist, I would have failed from the first day to now. I never would have been a singer. I can only sing the harmony part. I wasn't a soloist. But when you have a music group, you need the harmony. If without the harmony, what are you? And that's so right. I said, I can learn how to be the harmony. I can learn how to sing the odd part. And people, where would I be without people?
Yes.
I was in the right business. And when we decided to do something together, that did it for us.
That's what did it. You needed other people. David, that's a wonderful demonstration or illustration of the point we're trying to make. People need people. People need the Lord. I think, isn't there a song that says something of that nature?
Oh, yeah.
People need the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very, very true. And we're trying to illustrate that point that we need each other in order to survive. And always look for the good in other people. Oh, it's easy to throw stones. That's real easy. But remember, that person you bumped into does something better than you. Every person you have ever met in your life does something better than you do. Do not throw stones at others. So long for now, my friend. I hope to see you again real soon. This is Gift Briner saying bye-bye for now.
It's time to go, is it? That's me, too. I'll be back. Dave Colonin here. Bye-bye.